What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast off-season edition. Listen, it's been a couple weeks since we've seen you. There's been a lot that has happened. Maybe not so much in the football space, but just in our personal lives, really. Like, we had the draft. We had Pete going to Miami. We had Davis finalizing house stuff. Tuttle got a new computer. I continue to be a thought leader in the NFT space. So a lot of stuff's been happening. Davis, let's start with you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. You know, I still am running because I have what in the lending industry would say creative streams of revenue. Yeah. It's been a little bit of a back and forth with lots of paperwork with my lending agent to document where all of these various funds are coming from.
Do you think she knew what she or he or she knew what they were getting themselves into whenever they like took you on as a client?
No, they had no idea. It was done. I just did a bunch of applications and selected the rate that was the best. So no, this guy had no idea.
You get what you pay for, lending agent. You get what you paid for. So like, take us through that. As far as you're buying a house, you say creative streams. So like, what do you have to do to prove that? Like these top shot, whatever. I can only imagine some of the creative revenue that you have. Like, what does that involve?
He slides over the Tyler Hero sale receipt. Yeah. And he says, "This was the worst day of my life, but you're gonna need to see this."
Top shot sales have decreased 1,000% since.
So one of them was the top shot sale, but as you know, Top Shot, a Canadian company. So when you get the money from Top Shot, when it slides into your bank account, it doesn't come in as you know, Dapper Labs or whatever. It comes in as a payment processor. So the only verification is, you know, the payment processor X, and it's like, you know, X thousands of dollars comes in, and so that just looks like that could be anything, right? And so I had to do paperwork for that. Had to do paperwork for Patreon receipts. Like, what is a Patreon? What is that? And then lots of obviously PayPal withdrawals. So it's just been, it's honestly been a nightmare, like so much paperwork and sending of documents around.
I mean, I can only imagine. That's why anybody in the creative stream space, just liquidate for 2 months and then that way.
Yeah. Great advice for the kids, Dave. Just get it all in cash and just have the cash sit for 2 months and then do it. Don't get it together in 2 months and then start trying to explain. That's great advice for the kids.
I sold my hero. Gotta buy a house.
I wish that I would have had a recording of the conversation of me explaining Top Shot to my lender. Like, it would have been pretty good.
All right, Peter, how are you doing? Like, have you fully recovered from the trip to Miami?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad as far as recovering. It was a nice time. It was very fun. Jeremy, I can confirm, is living his best life down there in Miami. And they pulled out all the stops for us. They took us to a beach club. They had rented a suite studio for the Underdog stream, which a lot of people got off their casting couch jokes. So shout out to everyone there. We were not, in fact, in a porn studio recording that, but yeah.
What happened to Davis?
Uh-oh.
What a cuss.
Jeez. Speaking of technical difficulties.
Davis normally isn't the one having technical difficulties on the show. It's impressive.
Okay. So I'm just going to say that watching the stream of you guys gave me serious DKTV vibes, because we went down to Miami and we had like this big studio with like a similar setup when like we launched. And obviously there were some audio issues. I fired off an early joke. I actually deleted that tweet, and it takes a lot for me to delete.
Wait,
a tweet.
You deleted about a porn joke?
No, please. No, about the audio. I said I am auditioning for the head of audio position at at Underdog Fantasy and like a joke like 5 minutes into it, but then like it didn't really get any better, so I deleted it. I'm like, well, I don't want people to think I'm dunking on them, because I honestly like liked watching it, but it's tougher than people think to like create a stream with multiple inputs, and well, I felt bad.
Yeah, I had a lot of concerns heading into that. My concerns were founded, apparently. But the thing about them, the people there had an incredible space. They're an art collective. So like all of the set pieces, like any random props, stuff like that, they were A+. But they, I don't think, they hadn't thought through all of the things going on with guests, screen shares, all of that. So yeah, we had to adapt on the fly. Quickly, it was not ideal. We powered through and apparently forced thought leaders to delete their tweets.
I watched the vlog, Nick's. And yeah, and at one point you said, well, I like skimmed through it. At one point you're like, yeah, we think we should go down a little earlier just to do some testing, make sure that everything's okay.
No, we didn't and get it was there early enough.
It's very Swolecast-y with the production, but the content was good, especially when you guys were trying to joke around with Schefter, and I think he probably didn't know who Jack was, first of all.
How could he not know who Jack is? Thought leader, Jack Settleman, Gen Z thought leader.
Jack was just saying absurd shit, and then I was trying to make jokes, and he was just like, not realizing they were jokes. It was a fun time.
Cause Schefter's pretty intense. Like he is like, that's how he has achieved the fame that he has. Like,
well, I did the show with Field Yates on Thursday, my randomizer draft. And, you know, Field is like a baby Schefter, but Field has that sense of humor. He's rolling with the punches to get that. But Schefter is just like, no, I am wired in to this news fire hose 24/7 and I can't break for any comedy.
Yeah. Well, and also the Rogers thing, probably he was on Pins and Needles because I was getting, you know, multiple requests and people. All sorts of stuff with the Aaron Rodgers stuff.
Well,
so.
Well, Tuttle, we know that Dave was locked into the vlog because Dave is one of actually the founders of Daily Fantasy Sports Vlogs.
Yeah.
From his keep the eye out, Dave.
No,
you got to do a vlog.
No, that was Tuttle that did the vlog. I did the article. Tuttle did the
Kitchen
turning
did the singular article.
Tuttle did the singular vlog.
No, I didn't do any vlogs.
Yes, you did.
I don't think I.
I want to watch a Tuttle vlog.
No, we talked.
I'm gonna side with Tuttle here.
I've got the tape. I've got the receipts.
I don't think he posted a single, because the thought process was, okay, this was back in the Fantasy Insiders days.
Yeah.
It first started. David wanted to. We tried to get David to provide content, and he legit just did one video called Keeping the Eye Out.
It wasn't even was it a video? It was an article.
It might have just been an article. It was a video. Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, we couldn't get him on the hook for more than one article/video. And so then we had the idea we should do the vlog. And you actually see a lot of people do it now. It's basically was Pete's bankroll builder challenge, right?
Yeah.
Like you play a week, you update. And we wanted to, did we want to do it with Cardi's projections or SIS?
This was Cardi days.
This was Cardi's, but it was like early days. And I think it started off pretty bad. I think it started off like just 4 losing days in a row or whatever. And we hadn't posted anything yet. And we're like, yeah, we're just not going to do this. We're not going to do this.
Yeah, so. I thought I was just about to learn that it wasn't Casey Neistat who invented the vlog, that it was actually David Kitchen. That's I thought that's
the angle we were going to take it to. I thought that was actually going to be the end direction.
Oh man, the vloggers.
I mean, really, Pete, if you think about it, your weekend in Miami could not have happened without David's groundbreaking DK Pro's weekend in Miami. Dave kind of was the originator of the fantasy sports trip to Southern Florida.
Well, and I mean, I walked around all weekend kind of with imposter syndrome, just knowing that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Dave, you know, hand selecting me to be on the Swolecast. I mean, just everywhere I look, I'm reminded of what he's done for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's natural to feel that way.
Listen, I'm happy. My only request is like, you pay it forward, and you're kind of doing that with Jack. Like it's the Soccer Dave, the tree. So
I think, I think, I think,
Jack.
I think Jack would really take offense to that. I think Jack very much thinks of himself as his own person. I don't think he wants to think of himself as Pete's protege.
It doesn't matter. Pete still takes he can still take the credit for that with bringing him on to
Club. He's got Top a lot Shot. To learn. Let's just say that.
Okay, my favorite thing that happened on Twitter this week was everyone retweeting settlements. Now we don't even think about the drops getting pushed back.
That was pretty solid.
Oh, I enjoyed him on the stream. Like that, you guys were going to give the. Let's see, what you're going to give a champagne to Justin, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so like before it even started, it's like, we're going to go out. And then you're like, no, don't. Like, don't, don't. Like, he's just ruining your creative, like what you had planned. And that's what I appreciate.
Yeah. He says what's on his mind and he asks for forgiveness later. You know, that's just how these Gen X guys roll.
At least he asked for forgiveness. I mean, you've got your own Davis Matic there, but Davis doesn't ask for forgiveness.
Davis? Do you what ask now? For forgiveness?
No, Davis never has asked for forgiveness.
In context, has he ever done anything wrong?
Like, when was the last time that you have asked for forgiveness, like, publicly?
I mean, that doesn't seem like something I would ever do.
Exactly.
Offended
and then admitted it.
Well, I just was wondering. I was just wondering in what the context Dave was talking about. But yeah, obviously asking for forgiveness means somewhere along the lines you would admit that you were wrong to begin with, which which does not sound like something I would do.
All right. So I'm scrolling Twitter and just now realized that CSU and Andy were part of the Christie's Punk collection winner. Is that public knowledge?
Well, I mean, it is now. It was very funny because right before the show, Andy was telling us, and then I said, is this something that we need to keep under wraps? And he's like, yeah. And then like Pete, 5 minutes into the show, mentions it and then immediately clams up. And I was saying that it was the equivalent of Pete doing one of his tweets that he immediately deletes, except he did it on a live stream and there was no way to delete it. So yeah, it's public knowledge now. Them and Herala Bob were part of a collective that got it.
Yeah, the Pete immediate tweet delete. It's one of my favorite genres of DFS Twitter. Like, we're all one shining big bubble of energy under God's love. 13 retweets, 87 faves deleted in like 7 minutes. It's amazing.
Oh man, yeah. That was just such a good.
Did you guys see? I mean, I was posting it because I was just losing my shit. But did you see the gallery? How they showed them for people in the Christie's space?
So I thought it was a bit. I thought it was a bit, and they were just trying to. It looked like a sticky note.
It was like I saw it last night after the stream and I was at my desk by myself crying laughing. Like, it was the funniest shit I'd ever seen. Did you guys see this video?
They outbidded you.
So they're walking people through the physical gallery and they have like, I assume prints of the stuff that they're auctioning off or whatever. And then like the other thing that's so funny is it's like a punks person who's like looking for it to like take a video to post on Twitter. And so the caption is like, first sighting of the punk. They literally have to zoom in like up on top of a wall for what had to have been like a 2-inch by 2-inch piece of paper of the alien punk, just a speck on a wall. And that was how they were advertising it. And they were saying it was like a scavenger hunt. Like, they wanted it to be fun, but it clearly was like, we don't give a shit about this at all. They're not going to devote any real estate to it.
Did anyone at the physical location actually bid on it?
That I don't know. I don't know. It was hard to tell like how that was working. Obviously they have like the intermediaries fielding the phone calls from the bids, but I'm not sure if there was anyone live there bidding on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't tune into to Club Top Shot last night because I was in the world of doggy meme coins.
Uh-oh.
I wanted to see.
Are you a dog money holder?
No, I'm not sure you would call me a holder, a hodler or anything, but
I need to pause this discussion for 1 second. Yeah. Cause I need to discover something I just recently learned. not only is the GameStop thing still going, there are people on Reddit who ardently believe that GameStop stock is like gonna go to $1 million a share. Like there's all of this complicated, clearly fake, you know, technical analysis and chart reading and examination of short squeezes and everything. There are, I would say, probably hundreds of thousands of people involved in this GameStop thing at this point that believe that this is like the financial revolution. It was breaking my mind.
You keep on saying GameStop. Do you mean GameStop?
GameStop. That's called a portmanteau, David.
Oh, okay.
Remember, Davis doesn't have to ask for forgiveness if he never admits being wrong in the first place.
So
correct.
So the dog meme coins, this kind of started like right after, you know, Elon Musk is the guy that
the worst
Doge,
person of all 7 billion people on Earth, perhaps.
Shiba, and then everyone starts like, I'm seeing all this stuff on Twitter. I'm like, okay, well, I need to know like what's going on here. So next thing you know, I'm in these Telegram chats. This is like, I'm guessing it was like Poodle, and they all have like the same sort of style, the same, I guess it's like the same show over and over again. And it's one big game of chicken. Like it's one big game of buy, sell. Like, and then the
sounds
floor,
like a
the
healthy rug, economy we have.
The rug is just like pulled out. It's like, how is this even legal? And like, this is, I guess, the, what you get with like decentralization where people can do whatever they want. But
no, I want to completely push back against this point. I actually hate this narrative that crypto trading is, it's all about market manipulation and pulling the rug out and getting out, because this same stuff happens amongst Wall Street firms and, you know, publicly traded companies and $1 billion hedge funds all the time.
Not like this. But see, Davis, you're saying like, I'm not saying like all crypto. I'm saying this specific,
the meme
altcoin that serve no purpose, and they launch and they have, you know, a certain amount of liquidity that they provide, and then it's just like whenever you get to the top, and then everyone just like pulls the rug, and it's all on Uniswap. And so like, you're already paying all this money for like the gas fees. It was fascinating / a little bit sad.
Mitchell, I feel like I'm going to ask you the question that Davis, I remember, asked you a couple months ago when this all started. Are you just buying and holding any ETH, not dumping it into all these projects?
If I would.
Bro, Dave, come on, man.
No, I do have some.
Like if you got margin called right now for 10 ETH, what would happen? Just by the way, as we were heading on air, due to this dog money meme you're talking about, it was revealed that Vitalik has $15 billion worth of Shiba Inu coin.
So a lot of these projects, they send half of the shares to Vitalik, and then the other half is like what you're bidding on. And so apparently like he has sold some of these shares that they've sent him. It's kind of like when people gift Josh Hart a moment, and then he will just turn around and sell it even more. And this meme coin thing honestly has wrecked the gas fees, because now I can't even buy or sell or farm Bored Apes anymore. And like that, I mean, that was the thing last week was Bored Ape.
You guys had a great run.
It's still there. It's just gas fees with anything ETH concerned, like need to come down. NFT boxes. You've got the any sort of like swapping. Right now, it's ridiculously high. And then like the apes, the me bits, everything on OpenSea, it's ridiculous.
What, you know what, how sick would this be? So Vitalik has just basically infinite amount of money. What if he had like a gas-free day where Vitalik covers the gas
all the gas
for everybody? And just think about the boom in the ETH market a day with ETH.
I would just get all of my ETH out of every liquidity pool, every state. I would just move it all into cold storage. I would remove all of my ETH from the chain. It would all go into cold storage.
It's all on Vitalik. Do it, bud. It'll be a do best it. Marketing.
Vitalik, we know you listen to the show. I like it. It's a good idea, Pete.
I wonder what Pero's at right now.
Dave, promise me for your children's future.
Oh, man, it is down five? Big time.
Buddy. not even 10. 5 ETH, 1 Bitcoin, move it, put it on a ledger. Put it on a ledger and put it in a security deposit.
What's
box,
he going to use to buy Pranksy's boxes?
No, I just, Dave, I five ETH
is fine. ETH is fine. And I can get ETH whenever because
I can get ETH whenever because I can sell my NFT boxes.
No, because I'm staking, you know, when you stake the Board 8 Yacht Club liquidity pools, you can just remove
Jesus
whatever.
Christ, dude.
So,
Kitchen, are you playing like musical chairs with your capital, like moving it to every new project, or are you
no
just
it's like spread out college
no fund? he's aping in a million.
No, it's like spread out, and then I will remove. It's like it's DFS has prepared me for this as far as like you take out your initial and then you move it to something else, but the Bored Apes
here we
are
go.
First of all, really cool art, and the community. Okay. It's not just a cash grab. The community.
It's not just
the community.
There's a reason why that's a joke when we say it, Dave.
Yeah. So, one night I woke up, like this was 2 weeks ago. I woke up, I'd fallen asleep on the couch, and then I see it. Thank you. Because I'm just like a dad. So I wake up at like 11:30 or 12. And then I see on Twitter, everybody talking about the Bored Apes, and there's no FOMO yield curve where you got to pay more for, you know, the more that are sold. And so people, it's the same thing that happened to like the Mooncats, where it's just like, get as many as you can, mint as many as you can before they all sold out. So that happened.
I want to talk about something that people actually give a shit about, which is not okay. This story at all.
How are the Mooncats doing? How are the Mooncats
doing? So the Mooncats.
That
the
will
floor,
be a project within a week. Mooncats.
Someone did it. Meebits and Mooncats.
I can't.
I'd already have.
The floor
Davis invested.
Is 0.2 on these.
Okay.
We got him for
seriously,
free.
Seriously, Dave, seriously, I can't with this anymore. My attention span was done like 79 seconds ago. What I actually want to talk about with Pete and Tuttle is the idea that BTC has become the boomer coin.
Oh boy. Oh, I've been the maxi part of the show.
So yeah, Wiggins is all about that talk now.
I've been having these conversations with Wiggins over the last 2 weeks, where he's like mocking me for not selling Bitcoin into ETH. You know, we call BTC boomer coin. You know, ancient Tom Brady did the laser eyes, and also Bales has noted
no,
this in
Top
a couple tweets.
Brady. Top Brady is his name.
Our man Steve. Steve
yeah,
Fink.
Fink has completely. Fink is like Bitcoin. I can't even like. He's out. He's all in like Chainlink and DeFi. Like it's all. But I do find that I think that people are gonna have the same response to the inevitable, you know, bear market with crypto and alts and everything that they had in 2018, which was when all the dust settles. They're very much going to wish they had not moved their Bitcoin into these alternative things. And that,
do you think ETH is an alternative thing?
Well, now that you mention it, I'm pretty big on EIP 1599. I've been doing a lot of reading on the protocol from that's going to come in on July 14th, which basically I'm not an ETH programmer, right? I don't speak this language.
No, you just said you've been doing a lot of reading. What have you been reading?
What I understand is that protocol 1599, it's gonna turn F deflationary. The miners are gonna begin to basically burn F, like something you would hear from an NFT project. Like as part of the block mining, F is gonna start being burned in a corresponding way to how many people are using the network, which is obviously if ETH becomes deflationary instead of inflationary, which it has been through the first 5 years of its existence, it becomes an entirely different value proposition.
To answer, I am caught in that pretzel myself, yeah, as far as do I want to cycle some of my Bitcoin over into ETH?
You haven't either. You haven't changed any positions.
No. I mean, I've accumulated more ETH through an alter ego who launched an NFT project, but I haven't myself done any balancing.
So you guys don't believe in the flippening.
So I want the arguments, because I'm not nearly into this stuff as much as you guys are. It's basically utility, right? Is the argument for ETH?
Well, the argument for ETH is that, like, it's the meme of come on, do something. You poke Bitcoin with a stick, you say come on, do something, and it does it. It just does the same thing it's always done. There's only 21 million of them. As there are more dollars, as there are more, you know, everything that exists in the world, there are still only 21 Bitcoin. There will or 21 million. There'll never be any more. And then the other argument is you can't do anything with it. You can't yield farm it. You can't stake it. You can't lend it. Except, oh, well, you can lend it, but you can lend it, but it's through a multi-sig solution. That's not easy. I think that I could
get a bunch of like stable coins and shit, right?
No. You,
or is that
you
something
there
different?
So yes and no. You can lend it, but it's through a multi-sig platform. The one I know is called HODL, which Nate Noling actually does, if anyone wants to hit him up and ask him about it. But it's much easier to lend and to stake and to pool liquidity with ETH and with stable coins, for sure.
And then the biggest downfall is gas, right?
Well, gas, and up until now, ETH has not been a deflationary currency. And also, a group of dudes run Ethereum. Vitalik and the Ethereum Foundation have like 60% of the voting rights of the Ethereum network. They could do whatever they want. They have in the past forked the blockchain unanimously, which is what Ethereum Classic is. It is the pre-2016 DAO hack Ethereum, which still exists, and you can still run stuff on Ethereum Classic. I don't know if anyone does, but that's basically the argument, is Bitcoin is fully decentralized and Ethereum is not.
I think it's interesting too. I heard someone talking about this with the BTC maxis, that a lot of them are just completely anchored to their personal brands on Twitter. Like their entire personal brand is just talking about BTC maximalism. And would it surprise anyone if they were accumulating ETH, trading ETH, whatever, but like they can't go on Twitter and brag about their new ETH position because all of their followers, they have, you know, revved up into a frenzy over just buying Bitcoin. So I think there's probably an interesting thing going on where a lot of the BTC maximalists probably have some ETH right now.
Yeah, but I...
Do we think Pierre Rochard owns more than 0.1 ETH? I think that's the ultimate test, right?
Or Jason Williams going parabolic, like these guys that you definitely know, like on the Twitter timeline, like who there's there are people on both sides. But after seeing all the applications, I just don't know how you can still be a maxi for Bitcoin.
I'm not a that is a non-accurate representation of my position.
Well, you don't believe in what ETH does.
Wrong.
enough
To sell BTC for it.
Right.
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave, I have more of my net worth in ETH than you do, for sure.
Are you counting NFTs as
ETH? Yeah. Are you counting
or not? Well,
because
liquidity or not?
I'm just saying total percentage of my life worth, of the total dollars to my name.
Okay.
My just entire thing is I do not trust myself remotely as a trader. Even if I'm more bullish on Ethereum
for sure
midterm than Bitcoin, I still don't even trust myself to rebalance. And I would just rather shift my accumulating to more heavy ETH than actually trigger a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that position. I feel like Even if I was like staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning researching, you know, DeFi projects like Soccer Dave, I feel like I would sell into ETH, and then the next day BTC would have like an 8% pump and ETH would be down 9%, and I'd be like, well, great, like I just wiped out 10% of my net worth on a whim. When so Dave, have you ever listened to Coin Talk show?
No. Mm-mm.
Well,
you have to understand, you have to understand that the majority of my experience is like through the NFT world. Like that is the
which is so weird to me, which is so weird because I feel like the normal on-ramp is crypto into NFT. I feel like NFT into crypto is a very weird on-ramp.
Well, Topshot opened up a lot of people just to the NFT space. And in order to participate, you had to have crypto for these other projects. And so that's how, like, I never got into the, you know, the yield farming stuff. But when
imagine how rich you'd be if you'd been yield farming ETH and USDC this entire time instead of everything else.
Right. And so like, but the way that
wouldn't
I learned
have to do this show anymore.
The way that I learned is that I had 10 apes and I wanted to stake some and then earn Muse while doing it. Like, that's how I learned about the process of yield farming, is through the experience of NFT. So that's my experience. It's not like watching a bunch of videos and stuff, because honestly, that stuff I still don't understand all the DeFi stuff. Okay, I understand that it has a lot of potential though.
There's a huge education gap with all of this stuff. Right.
So Coin Talk show would be up your alley, Dave. It is not a technical analysis. It's like, it's just bros talking about crypto. It's my favorite podcast ever. Aaron Lammer and Jay Kang host it.
I thought you said Ship Chasing was your favorite podcast ever.
I don't know. You know,
I'm surprised this is his own podcast wasn't his favorite.
Well, okay,
podcast
my podcast is my favorite, obviously.
Do you listen back to your own episodes, Davis?
No, never. Okay. I hate the sound of my own voice on repeats.
We all do.
You know, Pete, there's this very interesting thing that I used to religiously listen to every episode of Ship Chasing. Like, it would come out and I would listen to it right away. But as you and I and me and Corain have become, like, I talk to you guys every day. You guys are my good friends. I still listen, but I definitely don't listen immediately to, like, I don't have that same like zealotry towards the episodes.
Because you're getting a Patreon behind the scenes access to our thoughts. We need to start charging you for this.
Yeah, you got
to
do
it. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know the reason why that is, but I just have noticed that. But anyway, so Coin Talk Show has been a crypto podcast since 2017. Basically, you know, at the beginning of the first bull run, they stopped doing episodes for a while, but they put out a couple this year. And one of the things they talked about was, the smartest thing to do during a bull run is to just grow up and to not be so enamored with everything that's going on. And like, they were telling stories of how, like, when ETH was worth like $8, they would buy like 75 ETH and then trade them the next day when it was up 12%, you know, make like, you know, $200 or whatever. And they were just going over like all these mistakes of like, if I had just bought it and logged out and not been so enamored with it, I would be, you know, several factors more wealthy. And that's basically my feeling on crypto, is that all the NFTs and the staking and the yada yada and everything that there is going on, it is kind of a distraction at the end of the day of like, just stack sats and get as much. What's the denominator of ETH that people say, like a Gwei?
No, that's the denominator for the gas.
I read the white paper. I read the Ethereum white paper the other day and it had it in there.
Nice flex.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing it because Wiggins was giving me so much shit. Wiggins was like, you
Davis,
don't understand.
In a former life, you would like just hold gold, right? You would be a gold holder.
Yeah, like if I was Peter Schiff, I'd be like, I'm not buying any of this new crap. Yeah. I'm just buying gold.
Yeah. Would you agree that Bitcoin is gold in this scenario and ETH is oil?
It's a little bit different because we don't know how much gold there is. There could be gold on the moon. There could be gold depositories we've never found. We know exactly
You think that's gold
that's
on the
a
moon?
Theory. That's a legit theory that people have, is that there could be gold on the moon. That's like a crypto conspiracy thing, is that people think there might be gold on the moon or on other planets.
We
or
found
there...
cats on the moon. I don't know why there couldn't be gold, Davis.
So I actually do own a little bit of gold. Don't feel great about it. But Bitcoin definitely is the digital gold in this scenario.
It's just so funny to me that like you were on like the cutting edge, right? Like you, when everybody else was not talking about it, you're like, buy Bitcoin. And now that Bitcoin is boomer coin,
the best asset of the last decade,
you like you've lost some of the cool factor, and everyone's like,
do I need to add hashtag Ethereum into my bio? Do I need to put hashtag Ethereum in the bio?
I do agree with Dave's point, Davis, because like I was saying, you're like the DFS version of a BTC Maxi. You've tied your Twitter brand partly to the BTC Maxi stuff. And now you're in a tough spot because you know, you can't do buy ETH tweets, but you're not as bullish on saying buy BTC tweet. You're like Jack Settleman trying to tell people to buy the dip on Top Shot, but not necessarily buy the dip yourself.
I have been all the dip coin. I've not gone to that level. If I say buy Bitcoin, it means I actually did it myself. I would never shill something I was not actually buying, for sure.
All right, Davis, thoughts on Solana?
Did you
read the white paper yesterday, Dave?
I have my lone alt bag that I have left that I haven't gotten rid of is I have 150 Stellar Lumens somewhere in a cold wallet, and I got to find a way to retrieve them. That's good it. Luck. That's all I got.
All right, moving on to football talk. Did you guys see the schedule is released today?
Say the only Solano I know is Donovan Solano.
Hey, Pete doesn't know that. Dave doesn't know who that is either. Dave, okay, this is a good game. Lawden thinks. When is the last time all of us think Dave registered a DFS contest? I'll start with Pete. When do you think the last time Dave registered for a DFS contest was?
Your gut instinct is to say something absurd like 3 or 4 months ago, but I know he played some like random NBA second half showdown slate. So I'll say he did something like 6 days ago.
Total.
I still think a little longer than that, but I do think it was some random second half thing that he was like watching on TV. He's like, oh shit, I got to play this.
I think the fact that Top Shot has decreased in visibility is definitely giving Dave a little bit more free time, that there's just a little bit less to track.
Wait. I have an important thing. So that new the new DFS style game that Moment Ranks is doing. Dave has early access to that.
100%. Yes.
That might throw things off.
That doesn't count. No, DK or FanDuel only.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to. I do have access. Dave, do you have access?
No one has reached out to me. No.
Oh, he's so mad about it.
I don't know. What? I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that, Davis, you think I have all this free time, but honestly, I have to sometimes just shut down my browser because there's so much like going on right now. It's not just like DFS and sports and work. Now it's like, like NFTs, Top Shot has brought into this world, like just following guys that are like on Top Shot that we have not had experience to, like Andy, MBL, Jack, like these guys are in their own little areas, like their own little niches. And so like when they tweet stuff, like I feel like my mind is just going in a million different directions and it's just constant. Yeah. So like you think I have all this free time and let me just tell you,
feel very healthy for you, bud.
I don't think it is. I think what
why
I need
don't,
to do
why don't you just convert it liquidate. All? Why don't you just convert it all to ETH?
I just need to liquidate. That's what we're gonna do.
How much has Holly been on this journey? By the way, my answer is gonna be it's been within a month and 3 weeks in that range.
I think that's probably about right.
Wow.
Nothing within the past.
Have you played one baseball contest?
No, zero shot.
Zero.
But like, DFS is like DFS is different than like action, like in general, right? Like it's a lot easier to have action in the state sports of Tennessee.
Now. Yeah, well, we know you're a whale sports better now.
Well, I played MMA DFS on Saturday, made all my lineups, and then had a fight get scratched and had to go redo them. I'm like, why do I even do this? Like,
you should play tennis DFS.
That's what Brian's trying to get me into to play. I
got a walkover the last 2 days in a row.
Really?
So are Tuttle and I the only members of the Swolecast that are grinding it out still?
Grinding? Yes, 100%.
I don't think that's anything to brag about, though. Unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I mean it's true. It's totally wasted time. Of all the thousands of things going on in this bull market right now, you could spend your time and money on DFS. Probably dead last.
Top shots, maybe dead last, but then DFS.
Yeah, but you got to do it, bro. Because what if you get a number one LeBron?
You know, I wanted to get my thoughts out there actually about this most recent pack drop.
Oh, that's yeah, here we go.
From the Bear Channel.
No, yeah. You know, I'm just honestly this makes me so bullish. I'm super happy that Top Shot is now catering to the people that don't care about money. They're catering to the true collectors by, you know, offering these negative EV packs. So I'm just hoping that this gets those rent seekers out of there, and then us true collectors can stay strong. You know, eat losses on these packs, but we're gonna get cool moments in the process.
What are some of the cool moments you've been eyeing, Tuttle, to add to your true collection?
Well, I got this awesome Terry Rozier showdown dunk that's currently selling about half of what I paid for the pack. But it's okay because I got five other base moments worth about $3 each. So
the market is what the market is, right? Like you can't.
Dave. Wisdom. This is the thing that people
market's
have gotten wrong
market.
The whole time. Rohan in the Dapper team does not give a shit about your bags. All they care about is selling.
No
your
way.
Bags.
If only somebody was saying that since the beginning. Holy shit. Oh, wow.
There is a listen. The collector score is 100% a move in the right direction for what they should be doing. Like they
let's go pump their bags, Dave.
I agree. Should be doing that. They rewarded those collectors that have proven loyalty with a negative EV pack.
If you're under 5,000, you're a rent seeker. Am I right, Pete?
Well, it was
4,700.
People got so triggered by that tweet. It was such an
what was it? I missed it.
No, I looked at what my score was and then picked right underneath it and said, if you didn't have over that, you were a rent seeker. And there were a lot of people that didn't realize that was a joke. We knew this day was coming, right? Like there were all the people who were upset they couldn't get a pack. And we said to them, I said, okay, that is fine, but you have to be ready that when you can get packs, your packs aren't going to be worth a lot of money. Now the packs aren't worth a lot of money. It was actually pretty easy to get a pack, you know, recently. And now everyone's upset, threatening to leave Top Shot. It's like,
that's
okay.
That's funny. Yes,
yeah, you did. You weren't funny. Actually interested in the availability of packs. You wanted packs that were readily available and worth a shit ton of money.
Right. But what's funny about it is most of these, or a lot of these people still were like taking the high road and saying they're these awesome collectors, right? Like there was definitely overlap between the two groups.
Yeah. And I think I think it's good. I think it's good to now have maybe they don't get enough people in line to sell out a rare pack for $150. Like I think that finding that equilibrium is good.
Go ahead, Tuttle.
I'm good. I said my piece. Oh, I'm just glad we're getting these rent seekers out of there. Unlike guys with me that have like 30 Cameron Payne moments.
I'm gonna need Top Shot to pump. Otherwise, I gave Dan Bach a free roll on that bet.
You're drunk.
You're not gonna win that bet now.
Wait, what's the bet?
The best part was you guys were like trying to dunk on him nice and early. Too.
Well, because like it appeared that the way things were going.
Oh, yeah. Crazy how that happens.
I still think we could see some kind of auction thing that could get spicy.
Oh, I think a number one LeBron Cosmic Kobe tribute dunk is still going for $1 million.
There's been no trace of an actual high-end market outside of like people throwing back.
There still back needs to be a physical, and I will just like it's coming. It's inevitable, but we still need something physical that corresponds with the digital, a physical frame that you can display it. And we're starting to see some of these things present themselves. Not to bring up another, but just something I know, and the first time I've seen it is like the whole Bored Ape Yacht Club. Someone did a 3D model and printed it out on their 3D printer. So that person had their Bored Ape, like digital NFT. They had like the physical version of it as well. Like that stuff needs and will come to the space. And I think that will attract more Davis type people into the space.
Me and Dan Bach with our boomer mobiles.
Yeah.
Kitchen, I'm actually shocked you don't have Bored Ape photos up over your shoulder right now.
I mean, I was at the office and I had to come home. I mean, given more time, I probably would have bitted it up a little bit.
Yeah. But that does remind me, and Devin, I think in the chat here, Ding-a-ling, if you're watching, I'll give you $50 to buy a moment for $1 million before the season ends, so I can save a little face. Thank you.
There you go. And number one, something number one, something...
So Jordan Case,
yes,
we were opening packs the other day. It was the reservation packs, and we were in a group chat together, and we always post what we pulled. He pulled a number one Taurean Prince. So it's out of 12,000 because it's his first moment. Insta sold for $3,500. Instant Taurean Prince number one sold for $3,500. So I don't think I buy, you know, Top Shot is dying, no one cares. Like, I don't.
Or there's still stupid people buying low serials of bad players because they think
I think, relative to Dave, I probably look like an actual grizzly bear, but relative to the market, I still feel pretty bullish. I think, you know, 5-10 years.
Yeah. It's a long, long term.
You guys might still get something on those season ones.
Gosh darn,
you're still
right.
On long term, but yeah, not nothing.
Pete, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Has the tenor in chat and on Twitter for you changed for Club Top Shot as the market has gone down, or do people not really care and people are just hanging out and having fun?
No, I mean, we Club Top Shot talks about Top Shot on like 5-10% of our total amount of stuff. So everyone who's watching now kind of knows what the deal is. Yeah, it's interesting. Like in the general Top Shot chat in my Discord, I mean, they're still plugging away. It's like the conversations are so cyclical. You know, it's always like, what's going to be the thing that, you know, boosts the market? What are the things coming up? I don't know. It seems like they have their core base. Did you see the Hornets deal that they did? That's kind of moving
in the
right direction, I think, for what we're looking for.
Utility. They just announced a showcase quest.
Here's the thing. I don't need utility when we have community.
So you complete the showcase quest and you'll receive a random serial number Ben Simmons Cool Cats moments, which I'm guessing you have to have also as a part of the LaMelo Master Challenge. So that's interesting. All right. Final thoughts. Guys excited for that week 6 Buffalo and Tennessee Monday Night Football game?
No.
We didn't even talk about like our dynasty drafts. Like I've been pretty involved in dynasty drafts.
Yeah, we should talk about how Pete refuses to download GroupMe and the entire league is making fun of him because that's how all the league messages are communicated.
Yeah, I'm not in a GroupMe chat. I timed out. Everyone's pissed at me. I was asking Davis to tell the group chat that I was looking to trade.
They all said, is this a bit? Are you and Pete doing a bit? And I was like, no, he really just won't download GroupMe.
I mean, we've talked about this before. There's just too many messaging apps. Like, it's same with you. Like, you don't like going into Discord because it's just another app for you. I'm like, GroupMe? Are you kidding? Levitan's pulled me into Telegram for some of these chats. And I'm like, that's my max. I mean, this GroupMe bullshit, it's got to go.
Telegram, I mean, having like
kind of boomer rough.
No, not boomer. What is too much is doing what Dave is doing, which is literally never logging off, not like not sleeping, aping into like it's just like what Dave is doing is not. I do not co-sign these life choices, Dave.
But there are healthy stuff. You guys see these right here?
So good. They're awesome, David. They look like Adidas.
They're Ultra Boost.
Those are the Ultra Boost, Dan. Oh, okay. Gosh. Okay. Dan, you don't even know about the Ultra Boost. Get no out of here.
Those are not like cool shoes, though.
They are two cool shoes.
I mean, I like, it, not. They're dead no, shoes. They're like, there are like 10 million of those distributed like across the United States right now.
I'm not a sneakerhead.
Yeah, he wants more.
I don't need a ferocious shoe to rock around.
Look, I only buy shoes with serial numbers, okay?
I only buy shoes with blood in them.
This is what I love. So Dave, you know, he's positioning himself as, you know, hot dad summer, as the ultimate dad influencer. Right. Yet he crowdsourced that shoe purchase on Twitter and is then positioning himself as the one who discovered these shoes.
No. I gave a shout out to the people. I am not positioning myself as a dad influencer. I'm positioning myself as a dad that needs help from like people that understand what they're doing. Like,
just send me a Telegram, dude. I'm more than happy to help you out.
Davis, you're wearing a jersey over a white t-shirt right now.
Like, that's a look, bro.
Well, it is a look, yes, but it's not the one that I will be going for hot dad summer. I can tell
well,
you
trust
that.
Me, if I was ripped enough, there would be no t-shirt on underneath here.
Yeah, I know exactly. Like, but when I come from, like when your former Maxis were there, no one wore a t-shirt under their jersey. If you wore a t-shirt under your jersey, you were like a bench warmer, someone that's like, just, it's not a cool look for me. Anyways.
I mean, okay. I guess I should say Ultra Boosts are definitely above like New Balances, but you need to go a little bit more niche if you actually want to be a dadfluencer.
But no, that's the thing. I don't think you understand, Davis, and Peter, you don't understand quite as much, but one day you will. Like, you will get out of touch. You will lose yourself.
Here, I'll send you the most hype beast Adidas there are right now. I'm going to put this in the chat on Zoom. See,
I don't need like a hype beast shoe. I just need something that is going, that I'm not going to look like a boomer.
Well, I'm trying to make it so that like maybe like someone at the mall would be like, dude, cool shoes, bro.
These look like the Adidas everyone these in the 90s.
These
soccer.
Are the indoor soccer shoes.
Yeah.
Is the most cool ones right now.
No.
Those were hot. Literally. Yeah.
Those were the most ubiquitous soccer trainer shoes.
Yep.
I'm just telling you that these right now are the most cool.
I'm going to get my, like if JNCOs come out with this, then I am in. No, let's see.
Another thing that's coming back, not JNCOs, but big baggy Dickies pants. I can never pull them off because I'm too short, but that is like very much the look right now.
See, I just need stuff that I'm not going to look like just some random schlub, basically.
You know, there's some sort of I want Kitchen to go full hype beast. The dad walking around the playground, just all blinged out.
Should I get Dave like some like very like very choice stuff? I don't want to spend the money on it, but it would be such a good bit to see him wearing. Hey, God, like
what if we do this? What if we did like a midsummer Secret Santa type thing where we all pull a name and we outfit each of us for $100? We have to dress someone else.
But that's the thing. $100 these days doesn't get you.
Yeah, $100. Yeah, $100. Thanks,
all
Uncle
right,
Joe.
If we want to up it, I mean that's fine. I want to be able to spend responsibly. I think I can make Dave look good for $100.
People have tried less. All right, that'll do it for the show. Let us know in the comments what you think about the new Boosinets Pro shoes. The hype beast indoor soccer. We wore these in indoor soccer, like.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, they're the Samba, says the people are saying.
I don't know if any of that is true or not because I am not 100, but I just know that these are what are cool now.
This guy D in the chat has to be a Kitchen burner. As an artist myself, Kitchen put me on NFTs months ago on one of your shows, and now I'm working on them. There's no way that's a real person.
Kitchen's gonna send a. Oh man.
Yeah, let me know what you. Let me know. Let me get that drop, dog.
Make sure.
All right, that will do it. Looks like Kuma is pumping, so we're going to get out of here. Thanks to Peter Overzet, Davis Matic, and Dan, Mr. Tuttle 05 Gasper. I'm Soccer Dave. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Devin, for producing the show. We'll see you next time here on the Swolecast at rotogrinders.com.